parents that have lost a child find life is never the same again, and the holidays, especially the first few years, can be devastating. I spoke with a member of an organization that provides support through a community of parents dealing with the death of their child. The Compassionate Friends understand how hard it can be during the holidays after a child has died. After all, the members of this organization have faced the same tragedy in their own lives. Lisa Russo is a fitness instructor and one of the organizers for the Chattanooga chapter of the Compassionate Friends.
Actually, it's like a self-help group, but it is for bereaved parents. The child could be of any age that has died if the parents are still surviving, and we do support groups. It is a worldwide organization. Our chapter here in Chattanooga services this area. Once a month we meet, we get together, and we try to give hope. And we try to let these parents know that there is life again and there can be joy again, but it does take a lot of work to get there. And we just want them to know that there's a place they can come where they can take their mask off, where they don't have to be happy or strong. They can just be with other people that know how they feel. And we try to do programs that will help. You know, we just help each other. We're all in it together. And when we work together, it makes a big difference in the healing.
The holidays like Christmas and some of the other times when you're focusing a lot on children, those have to be hard no matter how long it's been.
They are, and that's one of the things that we try to focus on in our meetings. Say, like last month, we did a meeting on what did your child bring to your life that you were thankful for. So we're trying to take it and put it in a positive light. And we want people to cry if they need to cry. But we also are trying to look in the most positive light we can. Holidays are difficult. They are livable. But, you know, we used to hear people say, well, you know, how are you going to make it through the holidays? And we don't want to just make it through the holidays. We want to live through the holidays. We want to celebrate their lives through the holidays. And it's really our job to educate other people, especially family, how we want to do that. We can't just assume that other family members are going to want to remember our child's name while we're having Christmas dinner. We can't assume, because a lot of people are uncomfortable with that. So it's our job to teach other people what we need. We can't just think it's going to happen. We're there for each other on all of those different occasions. Mother's Day is really rough. We have a special celebration we do for Mother's Day and for Father's Day because some of these people have no children left. Some have lost more than one, and they're still parents. Their children just might not be here. And we want to still celebrate that with them. We also celebrate the children's birthdays, which some family members, again, extended family might think that's odd, but in our group, we think it's very normal because we're celebrating their life. They came into this world. They did do something while they were here. So that's a really nice thing that we add in that's comfortable for us that might be uncomfortable if we did it, you know, in another circle somewhere. The holidays are difficult, but we can learn to live through them. The first and second holiday after the child's death is really, really, because you don't know. It's the unknown. You know, anytime you have an unknown of anything, whatever it is, it's very uncomfortable. So we try to help people with that, especially the first or second one. And we try to let them know the anticipation going up to that holiday is usually worse than the actual day itself. Because of that unknown fear of how am I going to feel? Can I even make it through that day without my child there? And I'm 5 years out from when my child died, and I've made it through every one of them. I've cried through every one of them, and that's okay. That's fine, you know, just to let that go. And I will probably cry every holiday I'm alive until, you know, and that's okay. So we try to also show people that through those times, it's great to reach out for help. It's healing to reach out for help. Isolating yourself is just not going to, it's not going to help you heal. You know, you still might need those times where you're going to just need to be in the bed all day and not get out and cry. Okay. But when you decide to get up and reach out, we're always there for them. You know, we have phone numbers listed where people can call us. We have them listed as, like, my child was a sudden death, unexpected death. Somebody in the chapter needs to call me that has that same type of situation, they can call. We have suicide, parents that their children have committed suicide, and we have, like that parents, the contact if somebody just needs to call and talk. Long-term illness, just all different situations. And so we have people that are available on the phone just to talk to people if they just need it. And some people don't ever come to a meeting, but they get our newsletter and they call sometimes. And we're there for them for that too.
You have a candlelight vigil that is coming up on Sunday.
We do. The second Sunday of every December, all around the world, all the Compassionate Friends chapters gather at 7 o'clock their local time, and we light a candle for our children to remember them and to remember what they've done. And we have a really neat ceremony, really beautiful music. Every family comes up front, lights the candle, says their child's name, a little bit about the child if they wish. And then after we're done with our ceremony and lighting our candles, we get together and eat, of course. And we get together, and what we do is we bring, like, my child's favorite thing was macaroni and cheese and, like, chocolate chip cookies. So it's a food fest of pretty much kid junk food. A lot of times we just bring what was their favorite. If we have situations where there's parents that their child died as an infant or maybe was a stillborn, and they can bring, you know, if they don't want to bring a food, they can bring a memento, you know, of something or something that they really liked to eat when they were pregnant with that child. We bring pictures. We have pictures of our children everywhere. And in our chapter, we really get to know each other's children, even though they're not here anymore, because we tell stories about them all the time and we remember such neat things about them. And we've really gotten to know the children that aren't here. And that's a really special thing to a parent whose child has passed.
Celebrating the life, not mourning the loss.
And we do both. We do. We still mourn the loss because it's really good to acknowledge that, you know, I mean, there comes a point where you really have to acknowledge it's happened, though we don't like it, but to acknowledge it. But we do more on the celebrating end and more on the trying to help people find that room in their heart, because their heart is so broken. And we try to help them find the room in their heart to let a little light shine back in. And it's little bits at a time. It's little bitty bits at a time. It never heals all the way totally like it used to be. You're never going to be the way you used to be before this happened. But joy can be found again. And we're there to help people find that. And a lot of people have found their purpose in life or their passion in life after this has happened, like a certain cause. I do a lot of volunteer work for Tennessee Donor Services, and I'm a big organ donation volunteer. And so I do a lot of work with them, and that's become a big passion and cause for me, because my daughter, we decided for her to be an organ donor, and she saved 7 people. And so that has become a big cause of mine. And you see a lot of families do that. There's another family here locally that have a big organization going on. It's called 1 in 3, and it's the drunk driver awareness and education. And then we have another family that does a big thing about seatbelts. Their child didn't wear their seatbelt and died as a result of a car accident. And they've taken that and going to high schools and educating these children about wearing their seatbelts. So it can be really a good turning point to find the passion and to find something. And it's really important to do that, because it's really easy just to sit somewhere alone and not want to deal with it. And we just try to help people along this path that's a very difficult path.
Do you have a lot of parents of adults who, when they lose their child, when your child is an adult, that's still a loss of a child?
We do. We have people that have had stillborn children all the way up to people that have lost their children, and their children were, you know, 50, 60 years old. And, you know, and no matter what the age, they're still your child. And you've probably always heard, you know, parents will say to their kids, no matter what your age, you'll always be my baby. So we have people come in, could have been a, you know, 50, 60 year old, and they lose their child. And we embrace them just as much as my child was 9. We embrace everybody. We have adult siblings come too that really need that. We have grandparents. We've had aunts and uncles. Whoever needs that support. We also really encourage people, even if it's not a family member, if they need support, somebody to come with them. It's hard to walk into a first meeting. First of all, you're admitting and you're acknowledging that your child has passed. So that's like a huge, just to walk in somewhere, that's what it's about. Huge deal. And so we encourage people, you know, bring a friend with you. It doesn't have to be a family member, you know. Bring a friend with you if you've got somebody that you can hang on to during the meeting. And if we have a meeting and you don't want to talk, you don't talk. If you want to cry the whole time, you cry the whole time. It's just take the mask off and just be. it's a wonderful place to be for healing.
The Candlelight Vigil on Saturday, December 8th, will be at Loose Cannon Gallery from 7 to 9 p.m. Regular monthly meetings are the second Sunday of each month at 3 p.m. at First Centenary United Methodist Church, downtown Chattanooga. Follow the links from the Around and About blog at WUTC.org to learn more about the Chattanooga chapter of the Compassionate Friends. For WUTC's Around and About, this is Rabbit.